transformational show about life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness, delivered by good people doing good business and good things.
And I'm your host, Michelle Swinnick.
We are your trustworthy resource for sharing personal stories and quality content conveyed with a hint of humor and a supersized side of sincerity.
This is our signature segment, The Massey Memo, with our expert contributor, Robert Massey, attorney, solution provider, and protector of the people at Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law. Robert delivers the Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. His engaging and entertaining personality gives the boring law just the jolt it needs to make you want to tune in and learn to better play the hand you've been dealt in this game we call life. Enjoy the show.
This is our expert contributor segment, The Massey Memo, with Robert Massey, attorney, solution provider, and protector of the people at Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law. Robert will be delivering the Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. And if you notice, I say all that in the intro prior to the show, but because I love saying Massey and Massey, and I like saying protector of the people with, you know, my little accent in there. It's repetitive, but it's fun for me. Maybe get one or two laughs from the audience. I think it's worth it. Our topic today, legal issues, life-changing advice, and laughs. It's basically a recap of Robert's past topics. So thinking of it as our semi-annual checkup, which is a little overdue, to get you prepared for the remainder of the year and beyond. First my joke, then on with the show. So why did God invent lawyers? So real estate agents would have someone to look down on.
Oh, man. I got a lot to say about that one, let me tell you.
Well, coming from the real estate planet for many, many years, I thought it was funny. And I have one more, too, this one. This one is, I guess, appropriate because it's summer. You know, people are at the beach. Why won't sharks attack lawyers? Professional courtesy. Let me do that again. Let me say it again because the drum roll interrupted the punchline. Why don't sharks attack lawyers? Professional courtesy.
Yeah, I take that one as a compliment.
Oh, that's funny, but I'm sure they taste yummy depending on how nice the suit it is that they're wearing. I guess it's all relative. As exactly. Our listeners know, Robert and I we took a little break from the show. He was in California and I was doing a lot of reformatting and restructuring. We decided to just get everything in order. Now we're back on track and we're ready to kick it up a notch. So do you have anything to share with the audience that you've experienced over the past, say, month? There has to be something funny that happened with three kids in a beach house. So there had to be at least one story.
nothing that really sticks out other than, you know, an 8-month-old really could care less about being at the beach and having a gorgeous view. They just want to sleep and eat and poop. But my other kids had a good time. And the only thing I can say is, trying to go on vacation when you own your own business is not a vacation at all. So, the family had a good time, which was good, but I was constantly working and doing what I had to do, which is okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. Nothing. It was pretty mellow few weeks and nothing crazy that pops into my mind sitting here right now, but other than, you know, cute kid stories, but who wants to hear those? I mean, I have three kids of my own, and I get annoyed when people tell me their kid stories. So I'm like, you know, it's much cuter when it's your kid. You just have to understand that people, you know, other people don't really care about how cute your kid is. So I'm very cognizant of that. So I keep those stories to myself.
And that's appreciated. I know I don't hit kids, and unless the kid does something where you hysterically start laughing, or it swears, or kind of like it falls down and you shouldn't be laughing, like that's funny to me. The other stuff, oh, so cute. No. I want to see something that I can really go, okay, oh, that's awesome. Like I can't live on laughing, but that was great to watch. So, you know, my sense of entertainment with children is a little warped, but you know, it's like, it is what it is.
How about you? How are things going?
You're in Vegas. I'm in Scottsdale, and it's summer hibernation time. I probably am the most pale person that lives in the Southwest at this point because I don't go outside. So there is no tan line. There's no nothing. It's hot. So all I've done is work.
Yes,
and I've worked on the show. I've worked on the business. And if people notice that the intro is different, there's a song, there's a whole different format that we're doing, which I will go into detail a little bit more on the show on the September 6th. It's amazing. And I'll just give some people some non-legal advice. You know, I took about a week and a half to really think about what it is that the show should be doing and what people told me they wanted to hear, and some of the conversations that Robert and I had, and what the purpose was, and what my purpose was, and what I wanted to do when I grew up, and blah, blah, blah. And my advice to people is when you actually take the time to just think and really put all that stuff together, it's amazing how it all comes together, but you got to take the time to do that. And you don't really have that because you've got a business and three kids, but for anyone who's trying to just put it all together and really do something that blends all the things that you've ever done plus the things you want to do, you just got to take the time and really just think, start writing stuff down and do a little research. And it's amazing how it all comes together where it, for the people that get it and the people that don't believe in it, it really comes from another place. It comes from another source when it's supposed to be doing what it's supposed to be doing. Like I said, it has nothing to do with the legal stuff, but anybody out there that's just trying to figure it all out or God, I hate my job and I really want to do this, just take the time out to kind of sit, figure it out, and even just start jotting stuff down. It comes together when you put in the effort. That is my advice for today, my friends. That is my advice for today. Yeah.
If you enjoy what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life or something like
correct.
That. That's how the saying goes, at least. But, you know, not to kind of take a left turn here a little bit, but I would be remiss not to start the show on a bit of a downer, but we've obviously had quite a few pretty senseless tragedies over the past couple of weeks with these mass shootings. So, you know, anyone that's listening that may know someone that was affected by it or, God forbid, involved in it in any way, you know, our thoughts and prayers definitely go out to you. One of my employees actually was in El Paso visiting her dad and was at right around the corner from the Walmart where the shooting was.
Oh, wow.
So that just popped in my head, and I definitely wanted to at least send out thoughts and prayers to anyone listening that was in any way affected by it, because it is... It's getting pretty crazy out there, that's for sure. You definitely do want to be doing what you love to do and that you at least enjoy doing, because life's too short to not.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up to just acknowledge it, but also you're in Vegas, so you guys had something just as tragic happen last year. Wasn't it last year or was it 2 years ago?
It'll be two years. October 1st, the worst,
okay.
The worst mass shooting in the history of the country.
How was the mood and, you know, conversations you had with people over the weekend all going down? Because you probably knew some people that were either there or somehow involved with it.
Quite a few actually. And I, you know, there is a big insurance claim and a big lawsuit going on with that shooting, and I actually represent a young lady that was actually shot in the back was a client that I represent, And, you know, the shooting here, again, you know, as people remember, was the worst mass shooting in the history of the country. And I think the interesting part that everybody saw when it happened is, you know, Las Vegas has this negative connotation and people don't really look at it as a community and a place where people live and raise their kids and go to work. And, you know, they think everybody works on the strip and is up all night and doing crazy stuff. But, you know, this is a community just like any other that has families and people raising their kids and going to their regular jobs every day. They're 9 to 5. So when that happened, it was pretty amazing. Kind of the way that we discussed in when we were on the patriotism episode, how the country came together when 9/11 happened. You know, this community and this city really came together when the shooting occurred. And, you know, the hockey team that we have here, the Golden Knights, one of the reasons why it's so popular, on top of the fact that they win a lot, is the first game in franchise history was 3 or 4 days after that shooting occurred. So it really just gave the community a place that they could go and just be together and be okay and be enjoying themselves. And it was pretty amazing to see how Vegas really showed how they are a community and really rallied around one another because of how horrific that situation was. And I'm sure these other communities that are going through that right now, at least hopefully, are feeling the same way, because there's not much else. When something like that happens, there's not much else you can do than just kind of rally together and be there for one another, because trying to make sense of it or figure it out, there's no answers are going to pop up. And obviously with the El Paso shooting, you know, the media has already built a political undertow into that story. And I mean, there's a political undertow to all of these stories now based on the gun issue. And because of that, unfortunately, the human side of the story almost gets lost nowadays. And it's unfortunate to see that, you know, from the media side. But hopefully in those communities, you know, people are really gathering around one another and being there for one another, because, like I said, there's nothing else you can do. They can't really make sense of it. You know, I don't think anybody that went to the concert that was going on during the shooting here in Vegas would have ever even contemplated in a million years that somebody was going to bust out a window in the Mandalay Bay and start shooting. You know, and we had good friends of my brother were actually there, and thank God, you know, got out and didn't have any injuries. But, you know, they still just emotionally are obviously affected by it. I mean, that's something that people aren't supposed to see, dead bodies and people being shot right next to them. That's not something really the human brain can comprehend. So when you do, especially at a time like that, when you're just expecting to go to a concert and have a good time, or when you're just expecting to go to Walmart and go shopping on a Saturday morning, or go out for a drink at night, like what happened in Ohio, it's something I can only, you know, I thank God I've never been in that situation, but I have to imagine it's something that stays with you and kind of permanently affects you. So it's just the world is becoming a pretty scary place. And, you know, it makes you think all the time. Anytime I'm in a crowded area now, it's kind of all I think about. you know, every Christmas we go and we go do all this different stuff with the kids. And anytime we're in a, there's a place here, Opportunity Village, that has a Christmas gathering every year. And I, you know, this past year when I was there, all I kept thinking about was, oh man, somebody could jump over that wall right now, or somebody could come through that door right now and have a gun. And, you know, it's crazy that that's what it's gotten to, that anytime you're in a crowded area, that's the thought that runs through your head. And all you're trying to do is have some fun with your kids. And it's just crazy. And again, this topic wasn't really planned, and I don't mean to.
Yeah, it's not on my list. It's not on the outline. Excuse me, sir. That's not number four. It wasn't there.
I didn't mean to start it out on a bummer subject, but I just popped in my head, and like I said, because you know I live in a community that was so greatly affected by a mass shooting recently, you know, I at least wanted to send out thoughts and prayers to anybody listening that might be from those communities. But I'll leave that there, and we can continue on with the,
yeah,
the plan.
We're going
to
change gears now.
So.
we're going to change gears, boys and girls. So before everybody gets too upset and sad about the condition of where things are headed on planet Earth, we're going to bring it back around. The correlation which started the conversation was figure out what it is that you want to do. Make sure whatever you're doing, whether it's spending time with family or friends or for your job or for what you do in your spare time, just make sure you take the time to do what it is that you love to do. Make sure that you make the time, because life is short. It doesn't have to necessarily mean that you're going to go into a store and there's going to be an issue. It could be something personal with health. There's other people that all of a sudden one day they were there and the next day they're not. On the positive note, figure out whatever it is that you want to do and do it. You know, don't talk about it, just do it. And that's part of the things that we want to deliver on different topics on the shows. I mean, obviously, we try to do a little bit of a legal advice because that's what Robert does. He is an attorney. But, you know, we try to make it a little bit more entertaining, but then bring in real life topics. So that way you can do something to not only enhance your life, change it, make it better, even if there's some things that you learn on the show that could free up time. So now all of a sudden you have more free time to spend with family and friends. Well, then we're accomplishing something. But if there's something that we can provide that even makes you laugh, hey, that's all we're trying to do. So today's show, we're just going to basically kind of recap the topics that we've been delivering since April. Legal issues, life-changing advice and laughs. And it's a recap of Robert's past topics. Semi-annual checkup. We're just actually a little past that point since we've only got 4.5 months left to the end of the year. So we figured we're going to get you prepared for the remainder of the year and then get you thinking for some of the things that you need to be thinking about for 2020, which is right around the corner. And also, you know, whatever may happen between now and then with you, family, friends, whatever, at least you have the resources now to be a little bit more prepared or deal with whatever happens. So we're going to go real estate and business relocation, estate planning, personal injury, capitalism and the law, little small business, legal lightning round real quick with our process server, DUI, altercation with a stranger, accident in your home, jury duty, and medical malpractice. We're going to kind of go through them pretty quick. Robert's going to give you important takeaways, real life examples, anything that he feels is relevant based on the topics. So if there's something that you like or something that you want to learn more about, just go to the website, everythinghometalkshow.com. Go to Robert's page there in the episode section, and all the shows are listed. So you can go into more detail and get real specifics on them. So this way we just get, we'll go through the overview, and the rest of the resources are there in case you need to learn more or you want to listen to all of them because you think we're so awesome. So, right, Robert?
Exactly.
The first one we did, we got two shows every month, first and the third Friday. So the first one was how California politicians are forcing millions of people from their homes. It was about real estate and people relocating to Nevada. what are some of the points that really people should be aware of when they're doing that relocation, or even some of the things that were going on in Vegas, because the influx of bodies from California to Las Vegas, which was 1.2 million people between 2013 and 17, moved to Vegas from California, which is about 56% of the new bodies all came from California on a mass exodus to your hometown.
Yeah, we have a lot of Californians here, obviously. You know, the just to kind of, again, give a little bit a broad overview of what my practice does is my main areas of practice. The main one is personal injury, which is car accidents. Then I do real estate law, do business law, I do wills, trusts, and probate. So those are my main areas of practice, and that's why the subjects that we discuss are in those areas. And this first episode was really discussing why so many people are coming from California and how it's affecting Las Vegas. Obviously, the taxes in California are huge. Anybody knows that. And the cost of living in California, the property value in California, it's just so high that Vegas is becoming a hot, and has been for a long time, but even more so over the past 5 or 6 years, the main destination for Californians to move, because the cost of living is so much less, the property value is so much less. I mean, you can get a house in Las Vegas for $500,000 that legitimately in California might cost $5 or $6 million if you're in a certain zip code, and could be even more than that. Could be $10-12 million if you start going into Bel Air and Beverly Hills, things like that. So it's become a place where people can go and start a life again and be able to get a good job somewhere and be able to purchase a nice home for not that much money. And it's happened because of how much the taxes have gone up in California and how the property values have gone up so much. And it's obviously affected our city in good and bad ways, from the standpoint of, you know, more people means more congestion, means more competition for jobs, obviously. But the good part about it is it's brought new industries to Las Vegas. It seems to have, at least for people that own homes here and locals like myself that have been here my whole life, has increased the property values which is always, you know, a good thing. It's going to people coming in and wanting to buy a home, they're not going to love that, but it's certainly much, much far more affordable here than it is in California. So there's a lot of pros and cons. We have the football team coming in now from California, just kind of a giant example of the overall of everything that's going on. Is now where California is bringing the football team here, and it's really changed kind of the face of the city. And from a real estate standpoint, it has brought property values up and it's added a lot more industry to the community, which again is a good thing, because Vegas has always been very gambling centric. But for anybody coming in from California, you need to understand the fact that, you know, property values are going to be much more affordable. They are going up, but it's still affordable. California, there are a lot of HOAs in California, but in Las Vegas, every community has an HOA. So that's something to always be, be aware of. But it's the industry that this kind of mass exodus has brought in is really exciting for the town, because it gives people a lot more options, a lot more business options, and you know that obviously is exciting for me as well, doing business law as well as real estate law, because I'm able to be involved now with a lot of different types of businesses, a lot of different types of industries from these different businesses starting here in California. So that's kind of the general overview of that first episode that we did.
Well, it's a great place to start a business, even if you've lived there for years. I mean, it's a great time. You've got more people there, and you've also got the whole tax benefits. So, and as you mentioned in that show, we went into detail about quite a few of the different legal issues that small businesses don't necessarily think about that are really critical for their business, even when it comes to employees. So anybody that's transitioning over from California or wanting to start, it really makes sense at this point in the game to talk to an attorney to make sure everything is put in the correct order and things are lined up, because there's too much at risk at this point. It's not like it was 10, 20 years ago where you didn't have as much to lose or people weren't as litigious. Do you agree on that, Robert?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. It's definitely much different now. Definitely.
Yeah, and just to have that initial plan with an attorney makes all the sense in the world. And if it costs you a little bit of money, it's nothing compared to what may happen in the future with how just things have changed. So it ain't your grandfather, your parents' business anymore. It's the world's a little different. So we need to adjust accordingly.
Absolutely.
Yes,
all
right, let's talk about the next one. I know you love this one. It's the estate planning, and it was protecting your assets. How you hold title to your home is more important than having a deadbolt and a security system. And this one, I know that you have a little soft spot for, because most people think that when they need to do estate planning, they have to have like a full-on estate that they would see in an old movie like Dynasty. You know what I mean? Like an old TV show. Like you've got to be wealthy and you've got to have like family lineage and blue blood in order to have an estate. And literally when you're talking about estate, it's, the definition is all the money in the property that somebody owns, which could be a car and a bank account. So you don't need lots of money or wealth in order to actually do an estate plan, because you're doing protection for what you have and the people that are in your household, like if you've got a family. So I'll let you kind of sum that
Absolutely.
Up and just express on how important it is that everybody has some sort of a trust in place, even if you don't own a house, because once you're not here or if you're incapacitated, it's a disaster. I mean, it could be something that really changes the people's lives that are left. Or if you even mentioned, we talked a little bit about somebody, if you're sick or you're in the hospital and now you have nothing, you can't do anything and no one can do anything for you. I mean, and it's simple documentation that you get from an attorney, and it's protection for what life until you want to change it. So I'll let you go on that one. I'm a huge advocate of the trust. I think other people too, once they kind of really understand what it's all about. So I'll let you take that one and run with it, because I know that's one of your little babies.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely, especially number one, if you have kids, you absolutely need to have estate planning documents, because those are the documents that are going to control as to who is going to be the guardians of your children. So even if you have nothing at all, but you have children, having estate planning documents, a will and a trust, are essential to make sure that if God forbid something would happen to you and your significant other, that your kids are taken care of and you know who is going to be raising them. Also, obviously, yes, you don't need to have a fortune. You don't need to have really anything at all if you just have, if you own a house and you have a regular 9-to-5, you don't have any savings, it doesn't matter. You still need to have a will and a trust to make sure that you know if something happens, where it goes, who gets what, who gets your home, who gets whatever you have in the bank, who gets the collection of baseball cards that you've had since you were a kid. I mean, there are things that people acquire through their lives that might not have any amazing monetary value, but have significant value to them individually. And if you have something like that and you want to make sure that it goes to someone that you absolutely want it to have, then you need to put that down in writing, in a will, in a trust. Now, within the will and the trust, there's also powers of attorney. In those powers of attorney, there's a healthcare power of attorney and a financial power of attorney. Those documents control who makes those decisions for you if you would lose your capacity, if something, God forbid, again, would happen where you weren't able to make decisions on your own in regards to your health care and your finances, then you name an agent, and usually a contingent agent as well, to make those decisions for you and have that power. You also have a medical directive, and that's, you know, being kept alive artificially. But when you come into me and we meet and you fill out the estate planning packet that I have, the documents that are going to be included in that packet are going to be a will, a trust, financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, and a medical directive. So with that, you really have a full overview of everything. You're going to be fully protected in the sense that you know you have laid out your wishes in these documents, that they're enforceable, and that everything is taken care of, and you don't have to worry about it going forward. Now, if something happens 5 years from now, or as you attain more assets, these are all amendable documents. You can come in, you can change them at any time. It's not like if you know, people always say, well, I don't have anything right now, and, you know, what if I gain all this stuff in the next 5 years? Well, that's fine. You come in, you do an amendment, and we can lay out whatever new assets that you have acquired and how you want those distributed as well. So it's no reason to hesitate and wait for these documents, to have these documents written up. And then once you have them written up, especially the trust, it's a document that you can use to your benefit in so many ways, and so many people don't do it. If you have a trust, make sure you own your house in the name of the trust. Make sure that your bank accounts are in the name of the trust, or at least that the pay upon death beneficiary is named in the name of the trust. So that way you're taking full advantage of it, that you make sure you can avoid probate. And again, I go into detail in the episode where we discuss this. Probate is not this horrible process. It is sometimes necessary, and if it is necessary, it's nothing to be scared of. But if you can avoid it, it's really more about maximizing the dollar amount of the estate so that there aren't personal representative fees that need to be made and attorney's fees that need to come out of the estate. Probate really just maximizes the value of the estate. So, again, these are documents that as you get going on in life, you have a home, you have a job, you really need to have these. There's no age requirement that, I'm not going to get these till I'm 40 or till I have $1 million, whatever it is. You really, these are essential documents for everyone to have, starting at an early age. And I can't recommend and put out there enough how important these documents are to have and how much peace of mind they provide to people once they do have them.
Well, one other thing to keep in mind is if you're no longer here and you have something, even if it's just articles or there's some, just personal belongings, or if you have a house and it's just you, someone has to clean that mess up, okay? So it just doesn't disappear. So, you can make it easy for them to, I'm being blunt, but I just want to try to get the point across. If you're going to have, at least you could do is make it easy for that person to have to clean up whatever is left, because it's not easy when you don't have the tools. And then there could be lots of problems for other people. And, you don't want to inconvenience
Absolutely.
That to people that you're friends with or your loved ones or your family and have that burden when they're already going through they're going through an emotional hard time anyway. You'll make it worse because then they actually be like, I would have killed her if I would have known that this is what she was going to do, if she was going to leave me cleaning up this mess, you know? So just it makes everything easier. And keep in mind this too, because it's happened on past clients of mine. Now that the rates have gone down and the interest rates have gone down on mortgages, people are going to be refinancing their home. When they do the refinance, the title company is going to take it out of the trust. Make sure they put it back in the trust if that's what you have already in place. Because I've seen it so many times where, especially when people are getting busy, they don't put it back in the trust. And you don't know it's not in the trust until something happens. Or you go to sell it or refinance it, and hopefully the other person that was in it or whatever the situation may be, or something comes up, you didn't put it back in and you didn't know that. So make sure that even if you've done a refinance since you originally did it, pull the title report and see, because I've had quite a few people, when we opened up the Pandora's box, it was never put back in. They had no idea. And that causes, obviously, I'm sure Robert's got a lot of stories that he's had to deal with, where now all of a sudden it's a big issue when you thought you did the right protection. So, you know, the moral of the story is too, is A, you've done the initial legwork to set it all up, but as you mentioned, make the changes, make sure that if you do anything, you're adding on the assets, go ahead and have those things put into it, and make sure that if there's anyone else involved, make sure that everything was set back up properly. So, you know, you always have to be proactive when it comes to your own assets, right? It's kind of like a CYA. So good little reminder.
Absolutely.
May 3rd, proactive personal injury, how insurance is your best friend and enemy. That one, I'm going to throw it right to you, because that is one of your specialties by far.
Yeah, so like I said at the beginning, our main area of practice at the firm is personal injury. And there's several things that if you get in a car accident that you want to make sure that you do. As soon as you get in the accident, of course, you want to make sure that you take pictures, you get the other party's information. If there is a police officer that comes to the scene, that you get the file number so we can request the police report. Now, this is obviously all contingent on the fact that you are not injured to the point that there is an ambulance that needs to take you away. And obviously, if that happens, the main concern really in any car accident, whether it's minor or major, is your health, and to make sure that you aren't doing anything that is going to make the damage from that car accident any worse. But once we get past that, and if you are okay and aren't transferred to a hospital, make sure you get all that information. And then as soon as possible, give, either me a call if you're here in Las Vegas or wherever you're at, give an attorney a call and get in to see them as soon as possible. That will really help maximize the success of any type of lawsuit that has to be filed, or any negotiations with an insurance company, because the attorney will make sure that you're getting the appropriate treatment, number one, for your health, and to help maximize the case. When you're dealing with a car accident, you're obviously, the main thing you're dealing with is insurance companies. And the one thing that people really don't fully understand when they're dealing with a car accident is the fact that there can be significant policy limit issues. If you get in a car accident and you have $500,000 in damages because you broke both your legs and had to have surgery, whatever it might be, in Nevada, for example, the minimal policy of it that you have to have is it what's called a 25-50 policy, which is $25,000 for each individual, which is the maximum, and $50,000 total for the entire accident, no matter how many people are involved. So that basically means that if you get an accident, you have $500,000 worth of medical bills. If there is a 2550 policy, that person can only get $25,000. That's the maximum that they can get from that insurance company. That's it. And the issue is that when you have people that have a minimal policy like that, it is likely that they don't have assets to then go after in a lawsuit. So then it's not prudent to then forego the insurance money and try and pursue them individually in a lawsuit, because you can go through a lawsuit, you can win, and you can get a judgment against that person, say, for $2 million. But a judgment is just that. It's a piece of paper that says you have a judgment for $2 million. That's all it is. It's still incumbent upon you and your attorney to try and collect that money from that person. And chances are that person doesn't have $2 million sitting in their bank account. And chances are that person doesn't have any property you can attach that judgment to, or anything that they can attach that judgment to. Chances are the $25,000 that you got rid of and decided to file a lawsuit is the most amount of money you were ever going to get from that person. So it's really something that a lot of people just don't understand about how this insurance works, and when you're dealing with a car accident, how this situation works. It's extremely unfortunate. It's one of the most difficult conversations I have to have with clients to try and get across the fact that, yes, you are horribly injured. Yes, this is going to affect the rest of your life. And, yes, the most amount of monetary compensation I can get for you is $25,000. Because of this policy issue, because those are the limits, and because if we say no to the $25,000, going after this party individually is completely pointless because they have nothing we can get to. I have a client right now that has over $300,000 in medical bills, broke his arm, shattered his wrist. He will never be the same, and the other party has a 2550 policy. And there were seven other people involved in the car accident. So this individual will maybe get a few thousand dollars for an injury that's going to affect him forever. So, you know, it's the unfortunate truth about, you know, car insurance and how this system works. You know, if it's crazy how it is. If a Walmart truck would have hit that person, all of a sudden you're in a position where you can get your client fully compensated, because obviously they're going to have enough insurance to do that. But that is very rarely the case. And so, you know, people need to look at their car insurance policies, make sure that they have, because on your own individual policy, you can have uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage. So if you're in a situation like this where the individual that you strike only has a minimal policy, but then your insurance policy has uninsured motorist or underinsured motorist policy, maybe up to $250,000, then all of a sudden there's another pocket to go to compensate you for the injury that you've sustained. So you can't control what the other people's policy is. You can't control how people drive on the road, but you can control the policy that you have to make sure that you have the appropriate underinsured motorist policy, because I'm telling you right now, it is one of the biggest issues we run into. And it is, like I said, the most difficult conversation for me to have with clients. And so making sure that your underinsured policy is at a level where you are at least comfortable with it. Now, obviously, you can't predict somebody T-boning you at a red light and causing an enormous amount of injury to you, but, you know, you can only do your best. And most people don't review that part of the policy, or they try to diminish it because they don't want to pay, you know, more money for car insurance every month. I get that. But when it comes down to when you really need it, that's the time you're really going to kick yourself and say, I should have paid the extra $20 a month because now look at the position I'm in. So make sure to review your insurance policies, your car insurance, make sure you, in any situation, your homeowner's insurance to make sure any type of coverage there. Homeowner's insurance obviously doesn't apply to car accidents, but just in regards to things that happen in your home, make sure you review these insurance policies and that you're comfortable with the coverage that you have. Obviously, it's within limits and it's what you can afford on a monthly basis. Completely understand that. But if you can't afford it on a monthly basis, make sure you have as much coverage as possible under these different insurance policies.
I want to bring up a very important point, and I'm not just saying this because Robert is my co-host on the Massey Memo, that he's an excellent attorney. And I think it's very important for people to remember that, especially when you're dealing with the personal injury. I mean, you could just look at the television commercials and some of those characters just could ooze right underneath your door, right? And it's really important to make sure that you work with somebody who you feel has morals and ethics and values and is really there to give you an honest information, honest opinion, give you the facts. And as Robert says, he has conversations with people and they're very difficult because he has to break reality to them. And I have a feeling there's a lot of people in this industry that don't tell them the real side of how this is going to turn out because they want to try to maybe get more attorney's fees or, you know, whatever, how it works in that world. It's just, it's not the cleanest part of, I'm sure, that legal side of things, just because there is a lot of money, there's a lot of emotion. And, you know, you've always heard of the ambulance chasers. So be really selective on who you choose. And just because somebody's got a lot of billboards or they've got a jingle on a commercial, I mean, you know, do your homework, because a lot of that is just, I've just heard so many nightmare stories over the years in multiple states that it's, you know, it's just not worth it. You got to, you know, go with somebody like, and if you're not in Nevada or in Vegas that you could work with Robert, try to find somebody who's on the same page when it comes to just somebody who actually cares. I mean, we call them protector of the people for a reason. If you're in another state, try to get somebody who has that same type of ideology and values, because it'll make all the difference in the world. That is my non-biased promo of Robert there. But it's true. It's really important. I mean, I've had many, many attorneys over the years and for multiple different things, just because especially when you have a business, that's what you have to do. And it makes all the difference in the world that you work with somebody who you really trust what they're saying, and they have to be on the same page. To me, that's the most important thing of probably finding an attorney is getting somebody that you feel is honest and trustworthy.
Thank you. You know? Yeah. And I mean, look, I do get paid and I can get paid to provide this information to people. But, you know, this is something that, like I've said from the beginning of starting this show with Michelle, you know, this is something that my dad did throughout his life, and providing this type of information to people for, you know, in a way that's easy to understand and for free and accessible to people. Because it's, you know, it's just basic information that a lot of people try and kind of safeguard and not tell people. And it's ridiculous. You know, I want people to be able to have all the necessary information in front of them to make an informed decision. And people get busy with their lives and they usually only need to hear this kind of stuff when something bad happens. But hopefully, you know, in this forum, it's, people are getting this information so they already have it and they know it and can prepare for when that whatever happens does happen, that they know it's taken care of because they had the necessary information to make them the most accurate decisions and move forward from there. So, you know, moving on to the next topic really goes into that as well. And the next episode we did was the capitalism and the law and why it's the best system and what you need to know. And this was really concentrating on the business law aspect of my firm and how I help people start businesses and what people really need to know. And this is all about preparing from the start to be ready for something to happen. People start a business, it's usually something, again, like we discussed at the beginning of this episode, something that they're passionate about, something that they enjoy doing. And the last thing you want is to be starting this business and you have something that you really enjoy and you love doing, and you don't set it up properly, and then 6 months in, something happens, and your dream is gone. Everything's gone because you didn't properly prepare, and something happened. You get a lawsuit filed against you. It takes all the money you were planning to have to use in this business away, and that's that. That's definitely not what you want to happen. So when you're starting a business, number one, know exactly where you're going. At least have a very good idea of what you want to do and how you want to do it. It's the first thing I tell people when they come in and see me. It's not even legal advice. It's just business and life advice, really. Know what you're doing and how you're going to do it, because that will increase your chance of success by tenfold. If you're just kind of shooting blind, it's just not going to work out. So if you know where you're going and how you're going to do it, then the next thing to think about is what type of entity do we need to set you up in to grant you the most protection and provide you exactly what you need in the type of business that you're going to be running. There's several different types of entities. There's a sole proprietorship, which is just you running the business. There is a partnership, which again is just the legal definition of a partnership is two people carrying on a common task for profit. So I always tell people, be careful. You don't need a partnership agreement for a partnership to exist. And you might be in a partnership right now and not even realize it. Because if you are carrying on a common task for profit with another individual, that's a partnership. You don't need any physical documentation for a partnership to exist. The next most popular entity is a limited liability corporation, an LLC. That is something that provides the same protections as a corporation, but has the tax benefits of a partnership. What I mean is if you have a corporation, and that's the other type of entity, everybody knows what a corporation is. If you have a corporation, you are doubly taxed. You're taxed as an individual, and the entity itself is taxed. But you have the protections of a corporation. If you have a partnership, you are taxed as an individual, but you don't have the protections of an entity. It's just you individually. The LLC is the best of both worlds. You are taxed as an individual. The entity is not taxed itself, but you have the protections of a corporation. That's why so many people choose an LLC over a partnership or over a corporation. It provides the best tax benefits, and it provides the most protection. Now, there are several reasons why you would want a corporation. If you're going to go public, if there are, you know, a lot of different parties involved, if you have a board, you know, there's a lot of reasons for incorporating as a corporation rather than an LLC, but that's something that we can sit down and discuss and figure out what entity is best for you. Once you have the entity, then it's about putting into place the appropriate governing documents. For an LLC, that's an operating agreement. For a corporation, it's the bylaws. And essentially, those documents are how that corporation is going to be run, what's going to happen within the corporation, what happens if certain things occur in the corporation. For example, what's going to happen if we bring on a new member? What's going to happen if a member of the corporation or the LLC sells his shares? What's going to happen with board meetings and voting and all of those different things. And the documents are meant to have something in writing ready to go when these different events occur. Because trying to figure out what's going to happen when the event occurs, you're already too late. You're already going to run into an issue, and you're not going to be able to figure out, and nobody's going to be able to agree. It's much easier to agree on a procedure at the beginning of starting a business where everybody's eyes are wide and hope is full, rather than when you're into the middle of a business and now you got all this money coming in and a disagreement comes about where you're going to have to figure it out. Good luck trying to resolve a procedure that's going to take place for how you're going to figure out this disagreement. It's just not going to happen. So what's going to happen? You're going to end up in a lawsuit. And what happens in a lawsuit? You're going to spend a whole lot of money dealing with this issue when you could have just spent a little bit of money on the front end to put these procedures in place in the form of an operating agreement or bylaws at the beginning, and this issue would have been much easier to handle. So I tell people all the time, spend a little bit of money up front. It will pay tenfold on the back end because everything will be appropriately set up. Another couple things quickly on the business side. I don't do intellectual property law, but when you are starting a business, make sure that you have intellectual property protections, whether it's a trademark, copyright. If you're selling a certain type of product that requires a patent, make sure you have the patent. Make sure it's appropriately done and you have those protections in place. Those are things that have to be done before you start this business, because if you want it to have the biggest chance of success, you want to do it the right way. And please, please, please don't get these documents offline. Please don't. Don't go to LegalZoom. Don't go to these online services. Look, I don't like to bash other lawyers or other legal services, but the problem you run into with these internet services is they provide a very cookie cutter version of these documents. And it's not going to fit all of these different types of businesses. My business is different than the bakery across the street. And the bakery across the street is different than the gym across from that. All of those different businesses can't use the exact same legal document and expect it to provide the protections they're looking for, because all of those different businesses are different. They have different considerations, different problems, different issues to deal with. So just go to an attorney, come in to see me or wherever you're at, go in to see a business attorney. Sit down with them and hash out exactly what the issues of your business are, what you're looking for. I assure you it is more than worth the time and the money to get that done up front than having to deal with it on the back end.
And you do a consult with people for at the initial meeting, right? Then that's something that you can do. Do you charge for the consult, the initial consult?
Yes, I charge $250 for a consult. And again, with my consults, you know, people come in that have these big legal issues and are looking to start a business and want to do these different things. Or if people just have general legal questions, you know, they come in, we sit down for half an hour, I discuss it with them, and for $250, their issues are taken care of if they don't need any further, you know, any further work. If they do need further work, I take the $250 out of what I would have, what I am charging them for the work to be done. So if I was going to charge you, you know, $3,000 for to set up, you know, these different entities and to do these different legal documents, I take the $250 off of that $3,000, and it's $2,750. So, you know, you're either having that money taken off of the work I'm going to do for you, or for $250, you're getting all the legal advice you need, and you don't have to worry about the issues that you're dealing with in whatever situation that you're in. So,
yeah,
you know, my
extremely reasonable.
Yeah, it's something that my dad did his entire career, and in just, you know, practicing with him for so many years and seeing how much good a simple legal consultation can do for people, it's invaluable. It really, really is. And, you know, and that's why I also encourage people that don't think you need, you know, if you don't have some crazy large legal issue, it doesn't mean you can't come in and just sit down with me for half an hour and ask some questions. And, you know, a lot of times that's all people need is just a few minutes to talk about an issue they're having with someone that they know, has the information they need. And then they don't have to worry about, oh, is this Google search that I did accurate? Is that really the right information? Or is that thing that my neighbor told me really right? Do I really not have to do this? You know, it's just, it provides peace of mind to people. And, I enjoy doing the consultations, and I've really gotten a lot of good feedback from all of my clients that come in for consultation.
All right, we'll do the legal lightning round. I'm going to do it real quick. So I'll give the topic. You give something that you think would be the most relevant that they need to keep in the back of their mind. A lot of this is proactive. Well, some of it's reactive. After I just reread it, I'm like, oh, that's right. Some of this is an after the fact. Legal lightning round, important common issues and how to deal with them. Process server, go.
Just if you're getting served, if a process server comes to your door, just sign and get on with it. There's no reason to avoid service. Just let it go. Because if not, you're going to get served by publication and you're not even going to know. And then you get a chance to get a default against you. Just sign the papers and get on with your life.
So, in other words, don't do what Michelle did. Okay, number two, DUI. Yeah, oops, but I learned my lesson. All right, DUI, DWI. Uh-oh.
All right. If you know you've had too much to drink and you know that you're going to blow over the legal limit, do not take the breathalyzer. You're going to jail either way. So if you know that you're going to blow over the legal limit, say, I'm sorry, I refuse to take the breathalyzer. They will take you into custody. You can get to the jail. At that point, you can refuse the breathalyzer again. If you'd like, make them take blood work instead of the breathalyzer. It is somewhat of a tactic to try and avoid having to take a breathalyzer. Some people will, you know, some police officers, and they will kind of force the issue on it. And a lot of people end up just breaking down and saying, fine, I'll do the breathalyzer. But if you know that you're going to blow over, you're going to jail either way, at least for the night. So you might as well just give yourself a few extra hours to where, if you're going to have to do the breathalyzer, it's definitely going to be lower than it would be when you blew right then. So that's one little tip that you can have for it. Obviously, just be careful. Don't drink and drive. If you do, you know, and you know you're going to blow, just refuse it and then deal with it immediately. Get proper counsel and go in and have the proper representation to hopefully minimize whatever the penalty is going to be.
Yeah, because you're going to lose your license too. So it's just you're cutting. You've got a chance of fighting something. I guess that's the strategy that we talked about on the show, right?
Exactly.
All right, altercation with a stranger in public.
All right, no. If they hit you first, obviously you can hit them back. It's self-defense. If you initiate the contact with them, or if you even touch them in any way, it can be assault and battery. The legal definition of assault is the unwanted touching of another person. The unwanted touching of another person could be as simple as blowing in their face or tapping them on the shoulder. That can still be considered assault. Battery is when you cause injury and damage to the other person. So if you are in a verbal confrontation, it can still be considered assault. And you just wanted to obviously try and diminish those altercations as much as possible, try and disarm the other person, you know, in a way that'll calm them down. You know, nowadays especially, you don't know what's going to happen. A road rage incident the other night here in Vegas, where the guys were going back and forth, all of a sudden one of the cars pulled up to the other one, pulled out a gun, shot, killed the guy on the middle of the highway. So living in a different world nowadays where you can't just, you know, assume that the other person isn't going to just pull out a gun. So be aware that you initiating any type of confrontation with someone, verbal, physical, whatever it might be, gives them grounds to move for, you know, criminal charges, and then to move for civil charges as well, which is going to make you have to come out of pocket. It's not as easy to defend against those cases as you would think, and it's going to cost you a lot of money even if you would be able to defend against them. So either way, you're costing yourself money. Just take a deep breath, turn around, and walk away.
Huh, good advice. Accident in your home with a person that either you know or you don't know. This was actually a really interesting show that I encourage people to listen back to, because I learned so much about that. And we're going to go into detail in the future, because you said that there were so many things that we kind of need to be aware of. But for right now, boom, accident. Somebody falls and hurts themselves. Now what?
It you want to check your homeowner's insurance policy, number one, see what's covered. Number two, a lot of it is going to depend on what they tripped on, what the facts of the situation were. If there is some type of known danger in your home that you know, or a reasonable person would know, that is has the potential of causing damage to someone, you need to make people aware of that. You need to let them know that, hey, I have a spike sticking out of my garden over there where the kids are playing. You need to let people know, or rope that area off, or block it in some fashion. If someone's walking through your home and trips over their own feet and sprains their ankle, obviously at that point, they can certainly try. And what I always tell people, because people always come up and ask me, hey, can I get sued for this, or can this person sue me for that? Anybody can sue anybody for anything. Okay, that's the answer to that question. Anybody can sue anybody for anything. As ridiculous as you might think it is, anybody can go. The courts are open to everyone. So they can go and sue you for anything they want to sue you for. It's just whether it has grounds or not and how far they're going to take it. So, you know, if somebody trips over their feet in their house and breaks their ankle or sprains their ankle, there's not much to worry about. Your home, the condition of your home, didn't really cause that injury whatsoever. So you shouldn't have much to worry about. But you still want to make sure you check your homeowner's insurance policy, know what type of coverage that you have, because that person, it doesn't mean that that person isn't going to try and sue you for something. So make sure you're protected, check your homeowner's insurance policy, and if you know you have known dangers in your home, let people know about them. Trespassers onto your property is a whole different ballgame, where there are situations where you can still be liable for someone even as a trespasser onto your property. That's what Michelle was referring to earlier about doing another episode about this. And
squatter. Like an old-fashioned squatter.
Yeah. I mean, you go into all those different things, adverse possession with squatters and what the liability is and all those different types of things. But you cannot use – this is one thing that I will say that, well, again, we can elaborate on. You cannot use lethal force to simply protect property. There's an old case in Nevada here. Someone had a property that they owned, but it was vacant. They didn't live in it. They rigged a shotgun to shoot anyone that was going to open the door, a spring-loaded shotgun. Somebody opened the door. Exactly. Somebody opened the door, shot him in the leg. They ended up losing their leg. And now that's the precedent case on protecting property with lethal force. If you're in the home and you're protecting yourself, you obviously can use lethal force, but you can't just to protect property. So, again, we'll go into that more.
Yeah.
In another episode, but just know your property, know if there's known dangers. Obviously, you know, you don't need to block every area off. It could potentially someone can fall, but if you have something open and obvious that someone could really get hurt on, just let people know about it.
Yeah. And a great tip, a good friend of mine once told me, if you're going to have an inflatable child slide in your backyard for some party, you might want to let the parents know, post warning signs that you are not liable, and make them sign waivers if their child is going to participate. So that
that's a very
the
good
main
idea.
Takeaway from the show that we had about the legal lightning round, which I think is very valuable information for people. And if you've listened to the show before, you probably are laughing just like Robert is. Now, I'll let you wonder and maybe listen to the show and you'll get that. We all understand. All right, my favorite one. Yeah. Jury duty.
All right. No, they can't tell if you get your jury duty summons. It's not sent certified mail. It can never prove that they got it, that you got it.
Woo-hoo!
No. But what they can do is they can resend one if you don't show up. And what I really think is going to start happening, you know, because the penalty for not showing up for jury duty is being held in contempt of court, which they can fine you. They even say they can jail you, that nobody's going to jail for not showing up to jury duty, but they can fine you. And I think it really might get to a point where they do really start, you know, enforcing the contempt of court, because a lot of jurisdictions don't. But I won't go into as long as a I won't get up on my soapbox
as
I did on the air.
Yeah. Patriotic Robert.
On the original.
On his little couch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I just, when you get a jury duty summons, think about the alternative. There are countries where you don't have the opportunity to be judged by a panel of your peers. Someone just says, you're guilty, you're not guilty, and that's it. So take it seriously. Understand the privilege that we have by having the system that we do. And just look at it from that perspective. And hopefully that changes your mind on it a little bit. I get it. It's a pain in the butt. People don't want to have to drag themselves down to the courthouse, sit there all day, maybe get picked, maybe not get picked. And if you get picked, then you have to take off work. I understand it is a complete, complete pain in the butt. But also, if you were the one on trial or if you were the one involved in the civil lawsuit, you really would want people in that box that were attentive, that were at least reasonable and maybe not want to be there, but understand that they're there and they're going to take it seriously. They're going to pay attention. Mm-hmm. So just think about it from that standpoint, because if that's the person that you, that's who you would want in the box. So be that person. So
I think I'm going to put a music in the background to that. Like, dun, 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 dun. So as you give your speech, and then my exit on that is throw it in the garbage, people. Woohoo!
Exactly.
All the topics, it's the only thing that we really just did not meet eye to eye. So it's but then again, you're an attorney and I'm not. So there's probably a reason why you got through law school and I decided not to go. So it kind of, you know, it sums it all up. The last topic that we did a show on was about medical malpractice. And that one, I don't necessarily think that you've got any tips on it other than when you do notice an issue, you've got to obviously get an attorney. You're talking about big league kind of stuff in that one. It's even bigger than personal injury.
Yeah, I mean, that one was really to discuss kind of the medical malpractice, the limits on medical malpractice damages, which most states have. The biggest amount of damages in a medical malpractice case are pain and suffering. And most states have a limitation on that amount of damage. For example, in Nevada, it's limited at $350,000. So, for example, someone could go in for a surgery to get their right leg amputated. The doctor could cut off their left leg, and your pain and suffering damages are $350,000, which is ridiculous, obviously. It's absurd. But, yes, if you have a medical malpractice, it's something that you believe is medical malpractice, a lot, it's usually the shortest statute of limitations. In Nevada, it's 1 year or 2 years from reasonable discovery, I believe. So if it is something that you believe there's medical malpractice, get to an attorney as soon as possible. You don't want the statute to run If it's something that's obviously medical malpractice, like leaving a sponge inside you is the famous example, or cutting off the wrong limb, something like that, you really need to get to an attorney as soon as possible. Get to them. I'm by no means saying that because of the damage limits that you should not pursue it. Again, the episode is more to just talk about kind of the lack of fairness, for lack of a better term right now, in regards to the damage limits and the system that's been developed over the course of these past 30 or 40 years. So it really is a good listen on medical malpractice. So listen to that episode, and I kind of go through everything, how the system was developed, what's been going on over the past 10 to 15 years and trying to challenge these statutes. But just as general advice, obviously, go meet with an attorney as soon as possible if you feel like you've been the victim of medical malpractice.
No, you had a thesis or something. It was just a couple pages, right? Well, back in the day when you were in school.
Yes,
some
I wrote a 100-page law review article in law school about the constitutionality of medical malpractice damage caps, and went through state by state what they were and which state has had them challenged and which has been successful. And it was a long, arduous 6-month journey writing this sequel to Beowulf that I wrote. And it was no fun, but it was interesting while I did it, that's for sure.
Oh, too funny. I think I get more enjoyment out of poking you when it comes to certain topics and giving you a hard time than the audience wouldn't necessarily appreciate too. But you know, and I just I mentioned this in another show, the free legal advice that I get, because when I come up with a topic and then run it by you, I'm like, you know, they all of them have somewhat agendas, except for, you know, like this malpractice thing that you threw at me. Other than that, there's something in it that I've gone through personally for somebody I know. So I'm like, ooh, what's the topic? What do I need to know about? So Robert can tell me how to make this work. So I always
that's
appreciate
where the topics come from.
The topics come from is how to get Michelle out of hot water. Or it's what had happened over the past 30 years where, you know, what could I have done or what should I have done way back when to avoid an issue. So yes, it is trials and tribulations over 30 some years of just being on planet Earth. And I know other people have gone through, and if we can make somebody laugh out of it, because some of this stuff is just, you know, we don't want people to have to go through any of it, but if you do, you know what I mean? You just got to at least have the right people on your team and the right info, so it's not as painful, and that's for sure. All right, Robert, we had another great show. We kind of went long, but it's because we haven't done this in a couple weeks, and we both were jonesing for good delivery and content for our listeners. We appreciate everybody's patience on this one, and I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to break down the times when we start each topic. So if somebody just wants to jump to a topic, we'll be considerate of the long episode this time. So I will do that. I will do that for everyone. I will do that for everyone on this one. All right. We're good to go. Swinnick and Massey out.
Another great episode with my good friend, Robert Massey. Robert will be delivering the Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. All of our guests and experts' information and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. We encourage you to check it out and begin to use it as a resource to meet, hire, and learn from good people doing good business and good things. Just click anywhere on their banners and enjoy the show. You can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and Blog Talk Radio. We're making it very easy and convenient for you to listen to us and enhance the quality of your life. And remember to like and follow Everything Home Talk Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And feel free to send us an email or message on which topics you want to hear about and which guests you want to learn from. I appreciate you listening. Make it a great day, everybody.